Father, we ask you to give us revelation today concerning the ministering spirits and their purpose, their plan, and some of the things that can happen, Father, with us as we yield to the word in this area. We thank you for revelation knowledge that will come today, and that our faith shall be built. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Now, I'm starting in Mark 16 on purpose, verse 20 here. And it says that they went forth and preached everywhere, including Jamestown, New York, or whatever, we're in the proximity. The Lord working with them, and in my case today, Dr. Jacobs, and confirming the word with signs following. I wanted you to see that because we want to lay a good foundation in the word. We can take off maybe minister, but sometimes you don't get the full impart of what we want to say unless we teach a little bit and get our faith around the word of God. And always stay with the word in this area. Throughout the meeting, I'll be talking about at least some of the visitations that we've had and how the angels spoke to and everything, but I don't take anything anybody said, and especially in that other unseen realm, unless I validate it with Scripture. But what I want to say is that if we're teaching on this subject, then it would only stand to reason God says that he's going to confirm his word. So if I was here doing, say, a prosperity conference, we're going to start off this morning teaching on tithing. And offerings maybe tonight, Monday night, I'll have to take care of your pastor, and maybe on the fourth service, maybe something on missions or the poor or whatever. And we would expect God to back us up if we're teaching his word, right? Yeah. So we're teaching on this subject. Yeah. Yeah. So the angels, naturally, they always get excited when I teach about it. Yeah. And I get excited teaching. I've been teaching it a long time, but I mean, it's just, and so we want to base what we're teaching you on the word of God. Be careful to do that in every facet of things, because some people think it all. But we don't want to negate the fact that they're real and that angels can come and heal and bring revelation and help us in many cases and do a lot of different things, and I'll talk about that in just a minute here. But I want us to go over here to Mark chapter 1. I want to look at something here that has become an important issue for me because, and I think it should be for you, that when I was younger, it's funny, you know, Paul said when I was a child, I thought like a child. I understood like a child. You know, you could be 48 and still think that way. But when I was real younger and young in the ministry, just a young person, I don't know why, I always thought the angels were all up in heaven picking guitars and eating grapes. I don't know why I thought that. But you had some strange stuff. Maybe today you came in your head, I don't know. About what you think. And first of all, which will prove this morning, they don't all live in heaven. They live down here with us. Many of them. I'm not saying there's not angels in heaven. That's not what I said. But there's the ones that we're interested in right now, the ones that are here with us today, that are assigned to you. We may talk about that tonight. And that they live in the earth with us. But here's the thing. I thought I had funny ideas about all that. And then the first time I had a vision and saw an angel, I mean, you got to have faith and be wearing Huggies. When you were a little kid, you went to grandma's and get these little figurines in the china cabinet. They looked like beer-belly preschoolers with long, curly hair. There's nothing further than from the truth than that. They're masculine, they're massive, and they're not all the same size, but they're intimidating. And I used to be a drug addict and drug dealer and live with bikers. I know what I'm talking about. I lived with some bad people at one time. I'm not bragging on it, of course. But I'm telling you, when they showed up, they some bad motor scooters. They can take care of business. And they're on our side now. We're talking about the ones that, you know. But then I got thinking, here's another thought I had about Jesus. I was thinking in my head, that's dangerous unless you got Scripture. That, you know, that I was thinking Jesus, well, Jesus is Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, you know, anointed Messiah. And I was, this is the way I thought about it. He'd be standing there and angels would come to him and say, and approach him, and he'd say, why don't you go help some of those humans? But you know who I am. I'm just doing this for illustration purpose. That's the way I pictured it in my mind. That's the way Jesus would have been. And when I got in the Bible, I found it was just the opposite. He needed their help. He valued their help. I'm going to prove this out of the Word. Don't turn me off because I may say something you have never heard before. Now, Jesus is the Son of God, Son of Man, but he came to earth. The Bible says, I don't have time to get over to Philippians with you right now, but he emptied himself of all of his heavenly privileges and became a man. So he's in this planet as a man. When I say man, I don't just mean male. Jesus being a human being down here. Yeah, okay. So we're going to look at him and we're going to see how was his response when he, when the angels came. Did he turn them down? Did he act like he was superior? Did he, in the sense that he didn't need their help or anything? He is superior, but you understand what I mean? Did he turn them away? Because I don't need you guys. Go help some of these weak humans. But that's not his response at all. The Bible says we should follow his example. Things I do, you can do also greater things. So Mark 1, let's look here, verse 13. It says, he was there, Jesus was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast. And the angels ministered unto him. Notice that. That he's out there in the wilderness, he was tempted of Satan, and the wild beasts were there, and the angels, in this case it's plural, they ministered unto him. One translation says, the angels took care of him. One translation, the Amplified, said, they took care of him continually. But see, you have to learn mentally to let him be a man as we teach you about this subject. That Jesus, when he came to earth, he was came as a man, then he was anointed. All right. And but here he is in a stressful, pressureful temptation, and the angels came and assisted him. You know, they can help you too. I just began to minister to me when I began to see that it says that the angels ministered unto him. Now, we're not told how. I'm going to give you some references in a few minutes that show some validation on some areas that I know that they can minister. But I don't know everything. I know some. All right. And it says the angels, plural, there was more than one, ministered unto him. I want you to get that. They ministered unto him. So, you know, here's my thinking. If he needed them, valued them and received from them, who am I to think that I don't need them? All right, let's go to Luke 22. And by the way, these two passages, Mark 1, Luke 22, are two of the most significant times in the ministry and life of Jesus where he had extreme pressure on him. And in both situations, angels came and helped him and ministered to him. Let's look here at Luke 22. All around it later. I'm just trying to get as much material in as this morning. That'd be all right. Yeah. I encourage you to read around it later when you have more time. But verse 43 of Luke 22. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Now notice in this case, it didn't say that in Mark 1. It didn't say the angels appeared to him. I'm pointing something out here. See, you know, in these meetings, angels are here. Because I know they go to church. I'll teach that later. I don't have time this morning, probably. They come, and I have angels that work with me in the healing ministry and so forth like that. So you don't have to see anything to receive from them. I want to say that clearly to you. Because, you know, unless you're a person that is given three things in the Bible that I found that would allow you to see into that realm. And fortunately, for whatever reason, God has allowed me to do that as a prophet. First of all, discerning of spirits. I operate in that. Sometimes good or evil spirits, depending on what I'm doing and who I'm ministering to. But so that's why sometimes I've had these visits. I didn't ask for any of them. Still don't ask for them. You're not wise to ask for that. God has to give that. And I'm not bragging on anything either. I didn't ask for it. It just makes me more responsible. Okay, but here's my point. If you don't operate in discerning of spirits and you don't have dreams and you don't have visions, you're probably never going to see anything in that other world. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The angels can come and minister to people, whether they see them or not. And they can influence other people to do things, whether those people recognize it or not. I want you to see, though, in this passage, a couple more comments here. And there appeared, so this angel came and stood before Jesus. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven. Now, I want to make a comment here, and we'll get more into it tonight. Don't turn me off, please. Just listen. When it says heaven in your Bible, you're going to have to discern what heaven he's talking about. Because Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through about 4, that he was caught up, Paul was, to the third heaven. So what I'm saying to you is, I submit this to you for your study, and we'll talk more about it tonight, because there's a lot of other references that indicate the same thing. That heaven here wasn't necessarily the planet heaven where God lives. See, there's an atmosphere even here today, right? We see each other. We see our bodies, you know. But But there's an unseen world here, and I'll talk about that in just a second. And it says that it came from heaven. Heaven could be just the realm of the spirit.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
We have this atmosphere right around us here. That was the first heaven. Then we have the stellar heavens, the moon, the planets, the sun, the galaxies, and we got telescopes out there now telling us there's a whole lot more out there we didn't even know existed. And then there's a planet called heaven. So that's three. So sometimes when it says heaven, you're going to have to be cautious how you judge that and make sure and rightly define it, like we're attempting to do with you, that really this world of the spirit is a portion, it's a heavenly world. It's a world of the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? I believe in heaven. Right now, I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about us down here.
Yeah.
That's where we're living. All right. Notice it says there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So an angel could come and strengthen you. Let me go back here to Daniel 10. Let me give you a couple examples of how angels could strengthen you. This isn't the only passage, but it will help see something for us. Daniel 10. You follow me okay?
Yes.
All right. Daniel chapter 10. Wonderful, wonderful information in this book and others about angels. Actually, there's about 300 references in your Bible of angels. And if you add in hosts and other things that have that same connotation, there's a lot, at least 300 on angels. And somebody asked me, well, like, Pastor Jacobs, did you get on your computer and do all that? I said, no, I looked them up one at a time, over and over again, 35 years ago and since. I studied them out. Yeah. And then there's 100 references of the 300. There's a third of those where they appear to a man or woman in this land. So we're not talking about something that's unheard of. People just maybe didn't know that. Again, remember, you're going to validate everything. If you have an experience, you're going to validate it by the written word. Go talk to your pastor to make sure you're not getting flaky. I'm trying to help you here. All right. But here we have in Daniel 10, there's a lot in this chapter, but we want to look at these two verses, verse 18 and 19. What are we talking about? How an angel could strengthen you. That's what I'm talking about, right? And I want to give some examples of that. Daniel 10, 18, then there came again and touched me. Daniel speaking here. One like the appearance of a man. Didn't say he was a man. He said at that time he had the appearance of a man. You know, Hebrews say, be careful, entertain strangers, some have entertained angels unaware.
Yeah.
So we know that they can come and come into that form where they look like a person.
Right.
Of course, he's having an experience here all through the book of Daniel with his different angels, particularly Gabriel and so forth. But here it says, let me go on. There came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. So an angel could touch you and strengthen you. I said, an angel could touch you and strengthen you. And in verse 19, and he said, O man greatly beloved, this is the angel talking to Daniel, fear not. And you'll see that every time they appear to humans on the planet, they say, fear not. So that ought to tell you what I'm saying is true. It's pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're pretty. Peace be unto you, and be strong, yea, be strong. And when he has spoken unto me, notice that when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And said, Lord, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Small, I'm not referring that this is Jesus or anything, but as this angel, angelic being, and you can read the whole chapter, but I think you're seeing this already. So there's two areas here, speaking, speaking and touching, that could strengthen the person. I remember back in 1983, I was in the basement of the church praying, and we were having like we're doing here, a three-day seminar on this subject. Conference, whatever. And I was down there praying, and just me down there, you know, praying. I was on my knees and praying for the meeting. I was getting ready to start the first service. And this was like a little closet that they had, I call it, with a door on it, that they did their radio broadcast from. So it's soundproof, and just a little teeny room with some equipment, a chair, and that's about it. And all of a sudden, I went somewhere in a big room, probably as big as this, maybe bigger. And it was filled with angelic creatures. And they all looked like they were ready to be released. Now, they weren't, I'm not trying to be funny, they weren't wearing a marathon runner's outfit, but that's the way I describe it, because they seemed intense. They seemed like they won't let us.
Praise God.
They step back in the crowd, and all of a sudden I'm back in that little room. You know, I don't know if you realize what an impact that's had on my life this year. And first of all, the people that may be thinking normally think, wow, you had a vision. I had a vision, but oh my Lord, I came out of that closet thinking, what a responsibility.
Yeah.
I didn't even know a lot about it back then. And they're telling me they want to be involved in the body of Christ, and they won't let us. I was so spiritually dull of hearing, it took 3 months before the last phrase of that dawned on my spirit. They won't let us. Oh my gosh. What is he saying?
Yeah.
And I'll talk about that in another service because it takes time to unravel that, the authority that you have.
Yeah.
But just to split it out there, you know, it's hard to gather. But if I take some time to teach what you will in another service about your authority over the angels.
Yeah.
Not God's authority, your authority.
Yeah.
Because God came. But see, we're talking about hearing. So there was a spoken word that strengthened me, but yet it also, I don't know, I almost felt overwhelmed by that, like I've got this burden there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That he's expecting me to begin to teach and unravel and minister about this. And you know, I've done that all over the world. A lot of pastors, God bless them, like your pastor, that he may have taught some on this before, I don't know, but he knew that by hearing me or by the Spirit that I was had a revelation. Not just teaching. We could just teach. I've got a revelation about it. I've had a lot of angelic experience. Again, I never asked for any of it. Just makes me more responsible.
Sure.
And it adds to my teaching.
Yes.
So, you know, and the angels, I got two that work with me continually, and then I've got others. We don't get too far ahead of ourselves. But my point is, those words continue to stay fresh in my heart.
Yeah.
We desire to be involved in the body of Christ. This is what I'm telling you. This came through an angel to you. You desire to be involved in your life. And there's a hindrance somehow that has to be removed. That ought to speak volumes to everybody here. That was my vision, but it should speak to you too. So we're going to learn how to get things activated before we get by Tuesday night. But I'm just getting things introduced right now. And talking about an angel touching us, I had a man in my church, he wouldn't stay put. He's up and down, in and out. I hope none of you are like that. You know, people like that always get messed up.
Yeah.
He's a bodybuilder. Oh, my goodness, he's a massive man. His legs and arms are like that. And he just looked like he's been shot, he's been stabbed, and a drug dealer like me. I mean, but he was always never faithful to church. He's in and out, up and down. And he just disappeared one day. I don't know where he went. He didn't call, he didn't tell anybody. And 2 years later, I was on a foreign country somewhere preaching, and my wife was in a restaurant with her mother. He's in that restaurant. He walked over to her like this. And he'd been normal when we left. And he said, Pastor Diane, I was driving one of those big rigs with the cars you put up in and over top. You know, they run the cars in the big rigs. He said, I went up over the cab to get in the door to back this car off there, and I missed the rail and fell into a parking lot. Broke every bone in both feet, my ankles. He said, I've been 2 years in rehab. He's not taking Tylenol free. He's taking some drugs.
Wow.
You know, and he said, I'm still having to walk like that. I'm in pain. I got pins and bolts and screws in me. I can't walk. I've been in rehab for 2 years, had several surgeries. And he compared to walking, just almost crying, she said. And she said to him wisely, well, Larry, his name was Larry. Larry, why don't you come back to church? Referring to me, Pastor Michael, got an anointing for bones, which I do.
Yeah,
we'll be ministering to people at some point, you know, about that, because we have an anointing to deal with bone problems and spine problems and neck problems and joint problems. Anyway, so he comes back to church. And I don't know, he'd been there a couple of months. I don't remember the exact timing, 2 or 3 months. I got up to preach one day. He's sitting about halfway back. I said, Brother Larry, come up here. God's going to heal you. And it took him a while because he's grimacing as he walks, and he can't walk very fast. He messed up. And you know, without God's help, he ain't ever going to get over it. And he came up here, and I laid hands on him, and he fell out. And I said, the angel working with me today is going to finish that. All of a sudden, we were all could see up in front. His angel picked up his leg, twisted his ankle like this, pulled it, laid it down, picked up this leg, twisted the ankle. I've been to visit people in rehabs. You know, I've watched them do that stuff. And when he lay there about another minute, he got up and walked back to his seat like this. ago. My wife was with me. And I was just one of several speakers in this camp meeting. And we were having lunch one day. I hadn't spoken yet. Having lunch one day with the other speakers. And one of the speakers, his name is, what is his name? Not Jason McGee. Jerry McGee. He's a traveling minister, and we can sit down at the table. I've never talked to him again. I just met him, but we hadn't really conversed much. He said, you know, I've got a lot of problems with my spine. And now, so this isn't a word of knowledge. I said to him, well, Brother Jerry, I'm preaching tonight. When they don't give on me, I'll lay hands on you because I have anointing for spines and bones. That'd be all right. But I'm just referencing this. That wasn't a word of knowledge. I didn't get that part from the Lord. I got it from him. So I'm preaching on angels that night. When the anointing came on me to minister, I stepped out. He was sitting back there, but I could tell when I was preaching, Pastor, he looked very upset with me. I thought, maybe I'll clown his field sideways. You all know that term around here? And so I said, Jerry, step out there. I'm going to minister to you. I laid hands on him, and I stepped back away from him like that. I said, there's that anointing for your back. And all of a sudden, there's an angel right here, and he stepped around me and kind of went like this. Stepped in, he stuck his finger right down here. And he was moving something. I said, Jerry, there's an angel. He's moving something down there. And about that time, he flipped around, faced the back, and ran out the back doors of the meeting. I thought, man, I had really ticked him off. We were in a Marriott hotel, and the men's room was right to the left out the back doors. And so I just went on ministering. I thought, well, whatever. Had some other words. I ministered to people. You know, he came back in about 5 minutes later, and he's all smiles. I stopped the service. Jerry, what's up with you? He said, well, you probably noticed when you were preaching, I didn't look very happy. Actually, I did notice that. He said, I've had a kidney stone for 3 days. I haven't been able to go to the bathroom. When you said that angel was moving something, I could feel it. And he said, I ran out into the men's room, relieved myself. The stone came out, and I'm pain free. We got a lot of things to share with you. Praise the Lord. Let's go over here a minute to Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at something here. We're just getting a kind of introduction today, and I want to, before we leave, we've got plenty of time, I want to get over into angels on the earth and talk more about that specifically from the scripture so you can see in your own Bible that they don't all live in heaven where God's at. There are angels there too, of course. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, speaking of Jesus, or we could say Jesus, or we could say Jesus the Word. And I'm going to have a little liberty to translate this from other translations and perhaps the Greek, the New Testament. For by Him, or by Jesus, or by the Word, were all things or beings created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Notice the next three words, visible and invisible. Visible and invisible. That means to the natural eye, unless you have a dream, a vision, or operate discerning the spirit, you're not going to see it in the other world. But I want to point out to you, this is an unseen world, not an unreal world. It's an unseen world, but not an unreal world. And he goes on to give us some indication, too, whether they're thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That's talking about an original creation. You know, there's fallen beings and different things like that. The demons and different things. But we're looking at this from the fact that there's an unseen world, an invisible world, where these creatures exist. And some of them have thrones. Some of them have different levels of dominion. Different levels. A principality is simply a power over a municipality. Hallelujah. Yeah. I've got a friend that's a mayor, and he pastors a church, but he's a mayor in the same city. He asked me about, you know, anything about civil angels that work in civil ways? And I called him back and I said, let me think about it a couple weeks, Pastor. And I'll call you. And I gave him this verse. I said, you've got some principalities that are not equal, they're good, they work with you in your mayoral office. He said, it's interesting, they don't work with me as a pastor. I said, they're not called to work with you as a pastor. They're called to work with you in your municipality where you govern me. All kinds of things. We don't get too far out there, but I'm just giving some insight into this if you're listening. Because normally we think principalities and powers are all evil. I don't know that I'd say that. In this context, it didn't say they were. that there might be some implication, but there's also angelic being. And I know for a fact, I'm going to talk to you tonight about it, they're not all in the same class. I don't mean first grade, I mean in the same class of grading. Some of them have different levels of anointing, they have different, some of them have, you know, six wings, some of them have four, some of them didn't have any at the time, some of them have two. Some of them have four faces, some of them have one. Okay, throwing some things out here for you. This is a big project here, we're moving by divine things here. So there is an invisible world, not unreal. Of course, this would go over in that other world too, the demonic realm. Sometimes people don't recognize why, you know, what, why they're being influenced a certain way, and it could be on that other side. The dark side, maybe we can say. I have been watching Star Wars lately. Hallelujah. Are you still here?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Hebrews now for just a minute and look at something over here. Hebrews chapter 1, the last part, verse 13, 14. If we have time, I've got several more scriptures to get to today, and I hope you're writing these down, or you'll get to see these, maybe listen to it again. Listen, we're not trying to throw too much at you, but we want to give a good, solid foundation that we're not, you know, throwing out comments and nothing to back it up. I want to make sure that we're on the word, you know. So here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, you know, the book of Hebrews, let me say this before I read it. The book of Hebrews was really a book of comparisons between the old covenant and the new, the old high priest and the new, which is Jesus, the new high priest. And it's really everything, it's about everything being better in this new covenant. They have better promises, better, better blood.
Galatians 4 say we're the sons of God.
Romans sent forth two ministers. Here it is again, two ministers. What happened to the guy with the kidney stone? He got ministered to. I ministered to him about his back, but the angel stepped in, ministered to him about that kidney stone.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. I've had people all over the planet get healed of scoliosis and stuff, and most of them told me the same thing. Said when I fell out, or maybe some of them said I went to bed at night, and then by the time I got up in the morning, it was totally straight. But two of them told me the angel grabbed me by my tailbone and jerked it, and everything went straight in my spine. I mean, sometimes I'll be preaching, I'll see an angel standing on one side of the other, and he may have sometimes he's had it look like a skeletal thing, like you'd see at a chiropractor. And then sometimes they've had different organs in their hands. And sometimes I didn't even know. Sometimes I had to ask, what is that? I don't know how to call that. I had in 1995, I think I mentioned that maybe when I was advertising my media, but stuff. We taught on it, or maybe in the sermon, I don't know. But anyway, we taught 15 weeks in a row on angels. And each week I would ask people to come that had a need for healing in their body, etc. Sometimes I'd have words tonight, sometimes just say come.
Yeah.
Well, in one of those Wednesday nights, I said, oh, just come on up, whatever you need, just come up. And then I started ministering to people and different things, and for some reason I came back to the podium. It was on the platform at that time. And I looked over this way, and on the floor here was a lady I knew from my church. She had one of those drop cloths over her, so I could see her hands. She's laying flat down. And all of a sudden, I see all this activity down here in the lower part of her abdomen. Sounds funny. I know it wasn't a squirrel, but it looked like something was loose in there. I knew it was something. I knew it was divine. I'm not making fun, but it just, you know, hit me that way. Wow, what is that? Well, I didn't want to disturb her after the service and run up to her, so I waited a couple weeks, and I finally caught her in the foyer. I said, Ken, tell me if you can. If it's too personal, you don't need to tell me, but I saw a lot of activity in the lower abdomen last Wednesday night or a couple weeks ago. Tell me, if you mind telling me what that was. She said, well, I've had some female issues, Pastor, and when you laid hands on me, I fell out. But immediately when I sensed myself touch the ground, these two angels flew in. And the one on one side reached in and took out a part. And the one on this side had a replacement part and stuck it in there. And she said, I've had no symptoms since then. And of course, I've seen her since 95 several times, maybe just recently back at my church. I think it's almost 5, 6, 7, 8 years later that I talked to her about it again. She said, I've never had another son. We were talking about angels and how there are some that work with us in that particular area.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Certain things will be done like that. And that's here in that same period of time, 95, I'm pretty sure it's the same. I said, well, I don't care what you got to get up here. I don't normally just say it like that, but now as I'm getting older and my offices are changing, you know, into the prophet's ministry stronger. I was admiring your pastor here this morning and looked at my wife and said, man, he's a pastor. I've been a pastor for a long time, but really that prophet's ministry is taking over much more. I still oversee my church, but I got a family, got a staff, and they're stepping up into things. So, anyway, what was that saying? Oh, so that healing and all has gotten stronger, so sometimes I may say that now, but I didn't know. And about healing. So anyway, this lady came to my church. I didn't know her that well. I knew her, but and her husband and her kids. But I said, what do you need? She said, I need a new heart. I said, Father, I just laid hands on her head. Give her a new heart. She fell out. I went on. You know, sometimes you don't always follow up and people don't let you know. But about 2 weeks later, she called the office and said she wanted to come see me. Well, she came and saw me, and I didn't know. She said, you know, her name was Joyce. She said, Pastor, I have severe heart trouble. I don't know if you knew that. I said, no, I didn't. He said, well, I couldn't be a mother anymore, couldn't be a wife anymore. I lay on the couch all day. I'd walk out to the mailbox, say, from here to the front doors out there, and said, I'd barely get back to the house. I'd just be so wore out. I went and saw doctors and heart specialists, and they said, well, your heart's wore out. You're 32, 33 years old. I can't do a lot for you. And she said, when I hit the floor that night, energy invaded my chest. I said I didn't know even what to think about it. Just knew the energy. There was an energy force in my chest up here. So I went back and said by my husband, I said, now my people, what's that? I feel energy coming off of you. So that, she said, that stayed on me for 2 weeks. So I went back to my regular physician and said, I'd like you to check my heart. he checked and he said, Joyce, I think something dramatic's happened. This doesn't seem like the same heart. You better go see the cardiologist. So she went back to them. There's three or four of them in a group, you know. And they did all this, I don't know, electrocardiogram, and I don't know what all. And they said, well, you got a new heart. And they did films. They got a film before and after. So I said, well, can you give me some documentation? And she sent me not the pictures, but the documentation from the doctor that God had given her a new heart.
He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth.
it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, you know, I read that, but in my mind, this is the way I interpreted it. I thought there's a hole cut in heaven, and God threw a rope ladder out till it touched the floor here and dangled, you know. And the angels came down and did whatever they were going to do, and then they went back up because that's where they live. But then the Lord said, read it again. I read it again, and I still thought the same thought. Then he said, read it again, and I said, I know you're trying to help me here. Could you help me a little more? And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth.
That's right.
This ladder started at the earth, not the other way around. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascended. They went up and came back. Because that's where they live. Here. They went up and then came back. Isn't that right? I've got a son, a spiritual son, pastor's church on the Rock, Texas, here, close to me in Georgetown, close to Austin. He comes up to visit, but he don't stay up with me. He goes back there with us where he lives. So these angels were already on the earth.
Yeah.
Are you listening? I mean, let me show you something else down here in verse, let me see here, verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. Remember, he just had this dream, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid, or he had reverence. And he said, how dreadful, and the word is, it's kind of a pathetic translation, and really the word for dreadful, but we would term it awesome. Yeah. How awesome is this place? Yeah. And then he tells us where it is. It's none other but the house of God. The house of God.
Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah.
When we gather together, we're the house of God.
Yeah.
We're the body of Christ in the new covenant.
Yeah.
And remember, this covenant was lesser than this one over here. So what I want you to see, these angels were on the earth already.
Yeah.
And not only that, he said, of course, the actual geographical place was Bethel, house of God.
Hallelujah.
Or the church, we would say, in the New Covenant. That's interesting to know, too. We'll talk more about that later. But let's move on here to John chapter 1. I said to the Lord when I first saw that, of course, I already told you I wasn't as sharp as I should have been, but I had to read it over and over and over and over to get it. But I said to the Lord, you know, because I'm not being smart or smart aleck. I just said, well, Lord, if this is right, you're really telling me this, and I believe I've got this verse. I want you to give me at least two more verses, and I want one of them to be in a letter. If there's not one in the letter, I'm not going to receive it from you. He said, I'll do you one better. I'll give you three more, and one of them will be in the letters. All right.
Yeah.
I wanted to be sure I was hearing correctly.
Yeah.
I don't know if I got time to give you all four, but I'm going to give you this one. For this morning. Look at verse 51. Jesus here speaking. This is Jesus speaking. And he said unto him, this is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 51. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He's used the same exact terminology. You're going to see these angels, you're going to see heaven open, or again, the realm of the Spirit, maybe. And they're going to be ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, see, that gives me another clue. The Son of Man, we are men. You know, the woman is the man with the womb. I'm not trying to be weird. But, you know, we're all in the race of man. You know, you've got female tigers and male tigers. But if you saw one, say, there's a tiger. So, he's talking now even more explicitly that these angels he's talking about that are going to ascend and descend, they're going to be working with us. Are you with me?
Yes.
So now we've got two witnesses.
Right.
One from way back in Genesis through Jacob and his experience. Now Jesus tells us and uses the same exact terminology. Now let's go over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Well, we just got this barely open this morning. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want you to look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are, notice that and underline it, we are. We're not going to be, it's not that we were, we are right now. We're made a spectacle unto the world and to the angels, and GR, that means Greek period, is the word theater. And that's a better translation. So we are, right now, we're made a theater to men, but also to angels. So what does that mean? You know, if we go to a play of our children, we go to, you know, some kind of a concert of some sort, or the Philharmonic, or we go watch a motion picture. I don't recommend it much. There's not much to watch. But anyway, but what have you done today? You've been looking and listening. Looking. Your little Johnny or Betty Sue's in a play. You're looking. And you're listening.
That's right.
And, and says we, as his people, we are right now, we're in the presence of angels, and we become a theater to them because they're looking. They're listening. They're looking. They're listening. They need to recognize that they're looking at us, watching us. Back in Daniel, they're called watchers. But they're watching us, and they're looking at us, and they're listening for words that they can act on. And I get up every day and say, Father, I thank you. It's not the only thing I say. I say, Father, I thank you, and I'll talk to him about some things and worship him. Then I'll say, Father, I thank you for the angels that have charge over me today to keep me safe from all injury, harm, and destruction. And then I'll quote over in Timothy where it says, we are delivered from every evil work and preserved under the heavenly kingdom. Is that accomplished? And those angels listen. They're listening to me. Listening to you. You start talking negative, you know, nothing ever works out for me. I don't ever seem to get ahead. Well, they can't operate that. There's another group that's standing somewhere out beyond them. Demonic powers, they're salivating that you'll say something like that. Because those kind of words will release them. The power of life and death is in your tongue. For you, it's in my tongue for me. You get anything today?